Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Danny Beal, and I'm a longtime member of this beloved congregation. Joining me in welcoming you today are worship associate Lisa Teal and our religious education assistant Colleen Taylor, along with Hal Walker, our music director, and the UU Church of Kent Tone Chimers. We also have Becky Klein, who will be sharing with us today. You may have noticed by now that I am not Reverend Melissa Carville-Zeemer. Unfortunately, Reverend Melissa is still not feeling well enough to be here with us today. She was very sad to have to miss this service and all of you, and we wish her rest and send our love to her for a speedy recovery. Today we will be exploring how to give a blessing, and next week Reverend Melissa will be back in the pulpit along with worship associate Becky Klein, sharing with us a service titled How to Receive a Blessing. In Melissa's absence today, we have rearranged the service just a bit. Following the musical meditation, Becky Klein and Lisa will be sharing their reflections on giving a blessing, which will be followed by our hymn of affirmation. What is this fire? A match, a wick, a flame. What is this place? Wood, stone, and glass. Yet here we have gathered in this place before this flame, making each holy by our presence here together.
Thank you.
blessing is not the function of a particular role. It is the natural expression of the fiery love and inclusiveness of our inner spirit. It is the manifestation of a soul fire, and each of us can be its hearth. To bless is not the prerogative only of ministers, priests, and rabbis. It is not the exclusive domain of saints and holy people. It is a natural human ability, and anyone can do it. Come, let us worship together as we celebrate our ability to give a blessing.
Now, I know there's a lot of props today, but you'll need your card inside your order of service for today's time for all ages. If you don't have one, raise your hand and we can pass some out. So, adults, have you ever found yourself yelling at the television? Maybe reading the newspaper and your knuckles just kind of, so much bad news. What about the kids in the room? Have you ever had a day where it just felt like everybody was telling you what you were doing wrong? You weren't allowed to do what you wanted to do. And by the time the day was over, you were just like, I'm just going to go to bed. Maybe tomorrow will be better. Have you ever had those days? Me too. So I've read a book called How to Bury a Goldfish, and it's written by Virginia Lang and Louise Nayer. And Virginia was talking about how she was having days like that all the time. She was watching the news and getting angry and upset, and she was finding it really hard to find good things in the world. But it occurred to her that all of these things that were happening were coming through the lens of other people. She's watching the television and they're telling her how to feel. She's reading the newspaper and it's telling her how to feel or how to see the world. And she realized that she really needed to just take a break, turn off the TV, put down the newspaper, and just go outside. So she decided she was going to go on a blessings hunt. And for a week, she stopped reading the news. Every day, she would go outside, she would look around, and she would find at least 5 good things that were around her. Simple blessings. And she would write them down. And I'm sure you know where I'm going with this. She started to feel better. Each day became a little bit brighter. By starting out looking for the good, it kind of trickled through the day. Because every day, she realized, holds awesome things. We just have to look for them. Like this jar. Probably looks empty to you. Like there's nothing in it. But what if I told you that inside this jar was a great treasure? What if I told you that back in January, I was having an absolutely no good, terrible, awful week? And I decided that I needed a blessings hunt. And so I woke up. And there's this really crazy thing that happens. Every day, this 1,000-mile-wide ball of fire rises up in the sky. It moves. And we barely notice it. So I decided that I was going to notice it. And I got up before the sun, and I went outside, and I opened up my jar, and I waited. And then the sun came up, and I caught some sunlight in this jar on a cold January day. And that was my awesome thing. So now I'm going to take you on a mini blessings hunt. Now we're all inside, we're not outside. We're going to have to get through that together. But I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And when I do, I want you to picture yourself in your absolutely favorite outdoor spot. So go ahead, close those eyes. Now, because this is your favorite outdoor spot, I happen to believe there has to be an awesome thing there. What is your awesome thing? Look around. What makes it awesome for you? Once you've found your awesome thing, go ahead and open your eyes. And I want you to write it down on that card with that marker. If you don't have a marker, you can use a pen in the pew. Children, if you can't write yet, you haven't yet learned how to write, maybe ask an adult to help you write down what you saw, what your awesome thing was. And Noah's going to come up and collect them for you in the basket. So just when you're done, pass them to the aisles. I'd like for you to give those blessings, those awesome things to me. I'm asking you to do that. And come back next week to find a new blessing, to receive a new blessing.
As is our tradition, I will share words of wisdom with you and invite you to then join together in silence and meditation. Let these words lay themselves like a blessing upon your head, your shoulders, as if like hands they could pass on to you what you most need for today, as if they could anoint you not merely for the path ahead, but for this ordinary moment that opens itself up to you. Opens itself like another hand that unfurls itself, that reaches out to gather up these words in the bowl of its palm. You may think this blessing lives within these words, but I tell you, it lives in the opening and in the reaching. It lives in the ache where this blessing begins. It lives in the hollow made by the place where the hands of this blessing meet. This is the point in the service when Melissa gives an extemporaneous prayer, but I am not Melissa. So I'm going to share with you some of my favorite words in a daily meditation. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention. I know how to fall down in the grass, how to kneel in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to walk through the fields, which I have done all day today. Tell me, what else should I have done? Don't we all die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?
I'm not Lisa, and I'm not Melissa, and there's some real question for most of my life if I have a clue about how to give a blessing. From early in my childhood on through much of my adulthood, giving a blessing meant only one thing. It was speaking certain mandatory words before eating a meal. In our family, we said the God is great, God is good blessing, as did my nieces and nephews when they were small children. And I can still hear their tiny and earnest voices ending, "Give us, Lord, our jelly bread." Those kids knew how to give a real blessing. And decades later, I still miss hearing those words at family gatherings. Apparently, I never did really learn how to give a proper blessing. This was brought home to me in two very painful experiences. I was a senior in high school when I was called upon on short notice to give the blessing at a 4-H awards banquet. I was painfully shy, and I wrote out the prayer, and it took everything I had to read it in front of more than 100 people. And later, the keynote speaker managed, without naming me, to shame me in talking of deprecating terms about people needing to write out a prayer. I was scarred by that experience, and I vowed to never pray aloud again in front of other people. About 5 or 6 years later, my mother and I visited my grandfather in West Virginia, and lunchtime came, and my grandpa said, "Do you want to give the blessing?" And I was embarrassed by not being able to, and really by not wanting to, and stumbled out the words, "I really wouldn't be comfortable with that." I am sure my mother was mortified. I renewed my vow to never pray aloud again in front of people. Many years have passed, and in the last half dozen, I've discovered some gurus of spirituality, and they have taught me richer and much more diverse understandings of how to give a blessing and the nature of prayer. Sally Weil, the spiritual care coordinator at University Hospital's Cancer Center, where I had surgery and chemo, taught me that prayer comes in many forms. And yes, they can mean the sort of things I did as a child, and the sorts of prayers that are formal and made by clergy. But praying can also be singing. It can be communing with nature. It can be thinking wonderful thoughts. It can be emptying the mind of all thought whatsoever. A few years ago, my friend Mike, who lives in Texas, emailed me early on a Sunday morning when he was having a very rough time in his life. And he asked me to pray for him. We had made a strong connection over our recent cancer experiences and the intensity and intentionality of the spirituality they had brought into our lives. He had young children when he was treated for advanced stage non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and was told he had about a 50% chance of survival. Mike was a great support to me through my cancer treatment and beyond to this day. And here was this dear man pleading for my prayer. How could I not? But I knew full well I could not pray for him in the traditional sense. And so I visualized him, what I now call visualizing prayer, standing on a sandbar that reaches out into Lake McDonald in Montana. The beautiful frigid lake and snow-capped mountains behind him, Mike standing tall and strong and healthy and happy, facing the sun, his back to me, and wrapped in the arms of those who love him most. I later emailed Mike and told him hesitantly about my visualizing prayer, and he told me it was perfect, that it was exactly what he needed. With Sally's rich vision of prayer and Mike's validation, I was finally learning how to give a blessing. I also learned from Anne Lamott and her book about prayer titled Help, Thanks, Wow, what she calls the three essential prayers. And these are her words. I do not know much about God and prayer, but I have come to believe that there's something to be said about keeping prayer simple. Help, thanks, wow. You may, in fact, be wondering what I even mean when I use the word prayer. It's certainly not what TV Christians mean, and it's not for display purposes like plastic sushi. Prayer is private, even when we pray with others. It is communication from the heart to that which surpasses understanding. Let's say it is communication from one's heart to God. Or, if that is too triggering or ludicrous a concept for you, to the good, the force that is beyond our comprehension, but that in our pain and relief we don't need to define or have proof of or have established any contact with. Nothing could matter less than what we call this force. I know some ironic believers who call God Howard, as in, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." She says, "I called God Phil for a long time after a Mexican bracelet maker promised to write Phil 4:4-7 on my bracelet, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7 being my favorite passage of scripture. But he only got as far as Phil before he had to dismantle his booth. And, you know, Phil is a great name for God." Let us not get bogged down on whom and what we pray to. Let us just say prayer is communication from our hearts to the great mystery, or goodness, or Howard, to the animating energy of love we are sometimes bold enough to believe in, to something unimaginably big and not us. Lamott also says prayer is talking to something or anything with which we seek union, even if we are bitter or insane or broken. In fact, these are probably the best possible conditions under which to pray. Prayer is taking a chance that against all odds and past history, we are loved and chosen and do not have to get it together before we show up. So prayer is our sometimes real selves trying to communicate with the real, with truth, with the light. It is us reaching out to be heard, hoping to be found by a light that reveals us to ourselves. And in this light, we can see beyond shadow and illusion to what is both way beyond us and deep inside us. Finally, Anne Lamott reminds us that prayer can be simple when she says, "My three prayers are help, thanks, wow, and that's all I'll ever need." The poet Mary Oliver also advises us to keep prayer simple. She says, "Praying, it doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention, then patch a few words together. And don't try to make it elaborate. This isn't a contest, but a doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak." And so let me end now by breaking my vow and giving a blessing of gratitude to you and this community. Thanks, and wow.
I bless people when they sneeze. Some divide the world into cat and dog people, but I'm more inclined to see them as sneeze blessers and not. I know it's a very silly tradition that's born out of sheer ignorance, chasing away evil spirits that have possessed a body. Yet I find it to be a sacred moment, a pause, and a connection with others. There have been many times where I've been out shopping and totally in my own world, absorbed in my thoughts, oblivious to everyone around me, when all of a sudden my sneeze prompts a complete stranger to look at me and say, "Bless you." We'll probably never see each other again, and we may even cut each other off in the parking lot 10 minutes later. But for that brief moment, there's a gap from the ordinary, and there's a connection. There are myriad uses of the word blessing. One that I'm not so keen on is the "I am blessed" phrase, which basically means I'm lucky, singled out from others. Football teams are fond of this usage when they ask for divine intervention to help win a game over the other team who's probably asking for the same help. Countries, too. I once had a bumper sticker on my car stating, "God bless the whole world, no exceptions." When I put it on, I thought it was really sweet, but apparently some found it controversial, perhaps feeling that country comes before humanity. I think blessings should connect and not divide. A few months ago in the UU World magazine, Reverend Kathleen McTeague recalls the morning after her father had died, she spent three very trying days and nights in vigil next to her father. When he finally passed, McTeague found herself in a daze shopping for groceries. Cashing her out, the clerk habitually asks, "How are you today?" And lacking the energy to feign a polite lie, she blurts out that her father had just died and she was not doing well. The clerk clearly felt uncomfortable and was at a loss as to how to respond, yet the bagger, who had Down syndrome, looked right at her and said, "You must feel very sad." And she refers to this as an act of blessing. In this sense, pausing and truly seeing another person without projecting your own stuff onto them is a way to give a blessing. I think we all have an intrinsic and compelling need to be seen, not in an egotistical way, but to be acknowledged for who we are without the entanglement of someone else's drama. I can remember as a young child watching television program Romper Room. Anybody remember? That's okay. Where the host every day would hold up her magic mirror and list just a few names of children that she could see. Every day I tuned in hoping this was the day she was finally going to look right at me and say, "I see Lisa." Being seen is a blessing. Blessings are expressions of gratitude too, as in count your blessings. In fact, in order to bestow a proper blessing on another, we must first feel at least somewhat grateful. After all, you cannot give what you do not have. An authentic blessing is one that comes from the heart rather than from the head, as in, this just happens to be the right thing that I'm supposed to say in this moment. And to do this, we need to tap into our inherent wholeness. To be grateful does not at all mean that our lives are perfect. Fostering a sense of gratitude is a difficult practice for many of us, but perhaps that is because we get stuck in this comparison mode. And when we compare, it naturally sets us up to see the lack, to contrast and highlight what is not there rather than what is. Gratitude comes more easily, naturally, when we're young. I remember taking my son to Subway for lunch when he was about 5 or 6, and this was his first, and maybe his only, fast food visit. Having never received Happy Meals, the kids' meal was a brand new experience. He pulled one item after another from the plastic bag and laid them on the table. Sandwich, juice box, fruit roll-up, and a cheap plastic toy. And with each item, his eyes grew wider and wider, and he exclaimed, "Wow, this is my lucky day." The purity of that moment is etched in my mind forever. When do we shift from the sense of wonder and appreciation to a world full of expectations and even rights? And more importantly, can we tap back into our young and grateful heart? I believe that we can, but it does take some work. The field of neuroscience has clearly demonstrated that we are what we think. Our brains are constantly reinforcing their connections based on what we most dwell upon. We're always pruning and strengthening these connections, no matter what our age. Buddhist psychologist Rick Hansen writes and teaches extensively on this topic. He has a book called Hardwiring Happiness, where he addresses the neuroscience of gratitude and gives helpful tips that we can use in training ourselves to in wiring in a grateful and happy attitude. It's a grounded practice. You know, we're not trying to pretend there isn't bad stuff in the world. It's more, where are you dwelling? What is the constant mental food that you're feeding yourself? He suggests that we tend to our mind the way one might care for a garden. We have to work the soil. We have to actively pull out the less useful, the weeds that compete for precious resources, and sow in the seeds and continually nurture that which is more useful. As part of my personal practice, I try and think of one thing each day that brings me a sense of joy and wonder. And sometimes it's as simple as acknowledging the benevolence of trees and plants. You know, if you think about it, they don't produce fruit for themselves. They graciously bestow us with these gifts. What a blessing. And the clean air and water that probably all of us take for granted. Some modern American poet, Charles Reznikoff, who celebrates this humble gratitude, he writes, "Not because of the victories I sing, having none, but for the common sunshine, the breeze, the largest of the spring, not for victory, but for the day's work done, as well as I am able, not for a seat upon the dais, but at the common table." So we're going to put this into practice right now. First, training our own gratitude. Second, truly seeing another. And third, bestowing a blessing that comes from a place of fullness, wholeness. Everybody have the red string? If not, I think Trish has more, right? Right. Anybody need one? We're good. Oh, two in the back. Okay. So many traditions and cultures have a practice of blessing another with a red string, from Chinese legend to my old world Italian grandmother, to Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, Jewish mysticism. And each has its own nuance of meaning, but the practice is, for the most part, to provide well wishes and protection, and for connection, to remind us that we are always in the embrace of our supportive tradition and community, even when we are out amidst the banality and difficulties of our daily lives. Typically, it's tied on by a monk, swami, priest, or elder, but today we are celebrating our natural human ability to bless another. All right, so we're going to take that string in our hand, and it might be helpful to close your eyes if you're more comfortable that way, and take a moment to be grateful. Expand your notion of what this could mean and try to resist even the slightest comparison. It might be this congregation, a wildflower you saw this morning, sound of a bird, friendly greeters at the sanctuary door, anything. Think of a few. All right, so now we're going to tie the string not too tight onto our neighbor's wrist and, you know, take turns if there's an uneven number in the row. Make sure everybody's taken care of. And you're going to bestow a blessing either verbally or in your mind. You don't have to say it out loud. It could be something like, I truly hope you have a beautiful day. It doesn't have to be anything big. Anything that comes to you.
Time to wake up, meet the morning. Moon's fading as the day's dawning. Time's a-turning, summer's burning. Time to head on down the road. Shine on by the moon. Keep the little angels shining on with you. Ride a brighter tune so we can sing it all the way home. Take it easy, let the road guide you. Make the music last until the night's through. We'll be singing, we'll be traveling with you as you head on down the road. Shine on by the moon. Keep the little angels shining on with you. Ride a brighter tune so we can sing it all the way home. I'm gonna make this motion that love has been blessing this time with you. Holding on to this notion that love everlasting resides with you. We shower this blessing of light on you. Trust the moment while you're moving. All the walking in the road lets the truth in. Just believe it when you see it as you head on down the road. Shine on by the moon. Keep the little angels shining on with you. All the way home, so we can sing it all the way home.
Like the cosmic dust following the great Perseid meteor, we are the living remnants of time and all that has come to pass in its wake. briefly shining lights on the way to eternity. We are only visible to the naked eye for an instant. Take this moment to shine like the stardust you are. May the light of our time on earth shine to bless the world and each other. Shine, shine, shine.